And I do thank the Lord for the opportunity. Thank the pastor for allowing me to be in his pulpit as he's away, and excited about what the Lord's doing, and very thankful for what the Lord did today. We were able to be in a prison today, and so I've already preached to inmates, and so anyway, we thank the Lord for all he did there, but I'm glad that you're here tonight and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do this evening. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs tonight, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 26. Proverbs chapter number 26. The Lord really did bless in the meeting this week. We had six services this week, had many men in the service. We had one saved, and we thank the Lord for that in the meeting, and excited the Lord's are reopening in the institutions. Proverbs chapter number 26 tonight, and I want to begin reading, or I just want to read one verse tonight, and that's verse number 11. And this may be a familiar verse tonight, but the Bible says this: as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. I'd like to preach a message tonight simply entitled, The Fool and His Folly. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the house. Thank you for the congregation that is gathered tonight. Father, I pray tonight that you'd please empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit. Help me to do what you've called me to do, and that is preach. Father, I pray tonight that you'd use the message to speak to hearts according to your will. Lord, you know the need tonight, and I pray you'd work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. The term fool simply means one who is destitute of reason. One who does not have the power of understanding. In Scripture, a fool is often referred to someone that is wicked, depraved, or acts according to their own inclination. In other words, they simply do whatever it is they want to do. A fool can also be defined as someone that is stupid or someone that is arrogant. To me, a fool is someone who cannot be told or taught anything. How many of you know somebody like that? A fool is someone who continues to go down the wrong road despite being warned repeatedly, and they continue to make those bad decisions in life. It's almost, if you will, as you're riding down the road in a vehicle and you see signs that say stop or the bridge is out, and you continue in that manner despite the consequences ahead. There are many in life who have been warned about things in life and warned of the dangers of sin or bad decisions, yet they plow headlong forward into their foolishness and into their folly. I believe tonight a sinner who rejects Christ's forgiveness, a person who stays in their sinful condition, despite knowing that Christ has died for their sins, is a person who has remained in foolishness and folly. The Bible has much to say about a fool and foolishness. The Bible says in Psalms 14 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Anyone that would deny that there is a God is behaving in a foolish manner. If we consider tonight, creation itself speaks of the fact that there is a God. If we were to walk outside and look at the stars and see the moon and feel the breeze and look at all of the wonders of creation, we would know that there is a creator behind all of that, and we would be foolish to make the statement there is no God. If you consider our physical being tonight, the way that our body is working, the timing of our systems, if you will, and our heartbeat and our air and our lungs and our brain function and all of that. We must know that there is a God that put all of this together. In fact, the Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God brought us into this world and brought us into existence. And anyone that would deny that would be foolish in their life. Proverbs 12:15 says, "There the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Those that would continue to do things that were right in their own eyes are acting and behaving foolishly. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 2, the Bible says, "A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left." The world is mostly made up of right-handed people. And the right hand in the Word of God speaks of strength and power. And it says a wise man's heart is in his right hand. It is his strength. It is his power. But a fool's heart is in his weak hand. and decision making and in action and all of those things. In Proverbs 26 verses 1 through 12, you'll find the word fool appears on 9 occasions. Throughout the Word of God, the word fool appears on 69 occasions. And let me say tonight, God does not desire any of us to be fools or to behave foolishly. As I studied for this message, I was reminded of a man by the name of Thomas Chew, T-E-W. Thomas Chew was born in the 1600s. Thomas Chew would become a pirate and eventually become captain of a ship named Amity. Somewhere between 1691 and 1693, Thomas Chew and his crew would capture a large treasure ship off the coast of Africa. With the cut of Thomas Chew's treasure, he would pay his crew, he would sail to Rhode Island, sail his ship, he would buy a large home, and he would retire from the life of piracy. In fact, history tells us that Thomas Chew would eventually marry, and he would have two children. He would eventually become good friends with the then governor of New York State. But Thomas Chew was a fool because he returned to his folly. Mr. Chew would again find himself back at the helm of a ship in 1694. Once again, the captain of a pirate crew. And somewhere along the lines of 1695, Thomas Chew would catch a cannonball as he tried to raid another ship, and his life would be over. You see, Thomas Chew had an opportunity to escape that life. He had an opportunity to get away from all of the dangers and the harms of that piracy. But Thomas Chew was a fool, and he returned back to the folly that he fled from. I would hope tonight that there's no one under the hearing of my voice that would end up like Mr. Chew. But the sad fact is, there are many today that do not learn their lessons, and they often return to the folly and the destruction of life. The word folly means foolishness. It means silliness. It means highly sinful, depraved of mind. I want to ask a question. Are there those under my hearing that behave like Mr. Chew? Notice Solomon gives us an illustration tonight of the dog returning to his vomit. Now I hope everybody's had supper and it's settled, because it does not paint a pretty picture, but it's true. A dog eats things that are bad or even disgusting. And they eat those things to the point of making them sick to whatever they have given their appetites to. They soon unload that burden, but shortly thereafter they will return again to what has made them sick. I understand that my dog Betty White is becoming famous. And that little white dog is a nasty dog. Why? Because she does exactly what Solomon says. She'll eat herself full on something nasty. She'll unload that burden, and then she'll go right back to it despite me trying to kick her away or whatever I can do to get her away from it. How often do men indulge in things that make them sick or destroy them, and they return again? If you were to look back in Proverbs 23... I call this a drunk story because it's the story of what a drunk is. If you were to begin reading in verse 29, you'll notice here it says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?" Notice this, "They that tarry long at wine. They that go to seek mixed wine." Verse 32 says, "At the last it biteth like a serpent. It stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mass. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake?" Notice this, "I will seek it yet again." All of the destruction, all of the harm that come with drunkenness and given to alcohol and all of those things, the beatings and the foolishness, yet when they awake, they seek it yet again. I think about how oftentimes as believers, when we fail to yield to the Holy Spirit, we'll find ourselves returning to the bondage of sin and the bondage of the burdens that the Lord has set us free from. The Apostle Paul would say in Romans 7:15, "For which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." I don't know about you, but I do not enjoy sin. I do not enjoy my sin. There is something within me that despises the sinful things. Yet oftentimes in life, we find ourselves given back over to those things. Why should a person decide or desire to return to the wretched pile of sin and the filth and the wickedness of life? I do not know, but yet we often find ourselves in such condition. Tonight, I'd simply like to give you a few quick things concerning a fool and his folly. Notice, first of all, tonight, the fool and his nature. Verse 11, it says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool to his folly. As we've already seen, Solomon describes a fool as this dog returning to his vomit. Why does a dog behave that way? It's because it's in its nature. It is wired that way. A lost man returns to sin because he has a sin nature. We are born with a sinful nature. That makes it natural for us to commit sin and behave like sinners. It is often said, why is the world the way it is today? It is because men are acting like their nature, sinful and wicked. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, notice this, that they all are under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:23, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let me say tonight, a person cannot change their own nature. As much as a person would desire to maybe change who they are in their sinful condition, they cannot change that nature. Why? Because that sin nature abides and lives within them. You think about this tonight. You don't have to teach a child to lie. I don't have to get my children to the side and say, okay, this is what you do when you're lying. Don't look them in the eyes. Look to the side. Shift your eyes around. Look at the floor. Drag your feet around. I don't have to teach them to do those things. They know it naturally. I don't have to teach a child to cheat or steal. They know how to do it naturally. You see, tonight, people that are in their sin, people that are lost and don't know Christ, they are behaving like their DNA. They are in that natural state and in that sinful condition. Notice, secondly tonight, not only the fool in his nature, but notice the fool in his reward. Verse 10 says, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressor. The fact is, the reward for a fool is simple. They are under the same burden that they were always under. That dog takes back in what has made them sick. The fool goes back to what has caused them to be burdened and sick. Beyond the burden, the sinner is under the condemnation of God. He stands condemned under the wrath of God in His judgment. Proverbs 26:10, we've already read it, but there's that word rewarded. It means to hire or to earn a wage. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You think tonight a lost man is under the penalty of sin, under the condemnation and the wrath of God. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto a man once to die, but after this judgment, man will be judged for their sins. As I told those inmates, I often hear many times, I want my day in court. Well, guess what? You'll get it one day. You'll stand before a holy God and you'll have to admit your guilt and your sin if you're lost. Revelation 20 and verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Let me say tonight, I'm thankful that I ain't going to have to be judged according to my works and my sins. They're gone. They're taken care of. They're removed. But lost man will stand and give account for every word, for every foul word. If a lost man that stays in his sinful condition never comes to Christ, he'll give an account for every bad thought, for every curse word, for every idle deed, for everything that they did, every sin from the time they were a child till they drew their last breath. They will give an account of those things. I think about if a sinner, or let me say this, in life, a sinner will live under the burden of sin and destruction and corruption, and it will bring them death, and that sinner will give an account for their sinful actions. In death, the sinner will have no defense. The only plea will be guilty before God. But that brings me to the last point. I see the fool in his need. The fool in his need. Foolishness is doing the same thing repeatedly, looking for a different result. Now, if you've ever been in the construction industry, many of you have already done that. I know I have. We try the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result. That is foolishness. Foolishness is realizing that what you're doing is wrong, but never seeking to change what's been going on. I say tonight, a fool has a need, and that need is to be changed, to be made different. He has a need to be made new. Think about tonight. You say, what does a fool need? Number one, a fool needs a new heart. A fool needs a new heart. Ezekiel 36 and 26 says, a new heart also I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. I know this is talking to the nation of Israel, but it can also apply to a lost man. Listen, if somebody's under the hearing of my voice tonight that's lost and never been born again, God has a desire to give you a heart transplant. To take away that heart of stone and take away that heart of sin and remove it and to give you that heart of flesh. The heart is where the appetites are. It is what they are hungry for. Notice we have this promise here that God would give a heart of flesh. At salvation, God removes the old heart and He installs a fresh heart. The cold hatred or the cold heart of towards God that is in the sinner's life is removed, and he fills that heart with love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness, and all of those things comes within a man's soul. At salvation, our appetites and our desires change. The sin that once enticed us and excited us, we now hate. Now understand this, this does not mean that it does not tempt us. But somebody that's truly born again does not freely give themselves over to that sin because of the Spirit of God that lives inside of them. Because of the fact that God has given them a new heart, the Bible that we once disliked now becomes our guide. I remember being saved and I remember knowing the Bible stories and all of those things, but I had never had a desire till I trusted Christ to pick up the Bible and begin to read. I think about this, the Jesus or the Christ that was once the enemy now becomes a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There are those that have hatred or bitterness towards the God of the Bible. And when salvation comes and that new heart is received, all of a sudden there's a desire and a longing for fellowship there. A man's heart is now moved to serve others and not self. He learns to have a loving heart for his family, for his wife, for his children, for his church, and the things of God. Not only does a fool need a new heart, but a fool needs to be made into a new creature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I absolutely love that word new. That word new means new, recently made. It means fresh. Hey, listen, I'm thankful tonight that my salvation is fresh. It ain't stale. It ain't got no out of expiration date. It ain't gotten old, but it's fresh tonight. Turn over to Romans chapter number 6 here. Romans chapter number 6. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ we are raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in, notice this, newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be restored, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I'm thankful tonight that God has given us newness of life. When we have died to ourselves and we have surrendered to Christ for salvation, He resurrects us and we become dead. And when we are dead, we are no longer bound or under the bondage of sin. The greatest day in a fool's life is when he dies to himself and his sinful ways and trusts Christ and becomes born again.
I'm no longer a fool under the condemnation of sin. I am not the same person I was born, but Christ has made me a new creature. He has given me freedom in Christ to serve Him and to live free from the bondage of sin. I do not have to return to the vomit of my wickedness because Christ has made me new. Not only new, but He has made me fresh tonight. Then thirdly, I see the fool needs a new spirit. The fool needs a new spirit. Think about this new spirit tonight and this need here. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his." John 3:6 says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." At salvation, a person receives the Holy Spirit of God, and the Lord now dwells in them, and He now becomes our compass and our guide. The Holy Spirit is that still small voice. He speaks to us. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the Holy Ghost of God speaks to us and guides us and allows us to know what is necessary. You know, the Bible tells us we're to try the spirits. You say, how do I know the Spirit of God is speaking to me? Well, the Spirit of God always speaks of Christ. You'll find that in John 15:26 and 1 John 1-3. If the Spirit that is speaking to you is not speaking to you of Christ, that is not a Spirit of the Lord. Think about this. The Holy Ghost always tells the truth. That's John 14:17. A lot of times we don't like to hear the truth, but you know what? The Holy Ghost of God will tell us the truth. What you said was not right. You said that with the wrong attitude. You had that wrong behavior. You had that bad thought. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have went there. You shouldn't have behaved in that way. You should have read your Bible. All of that is giving us truth. The Spirit of God does not lie to us. The Holy Spirit of God sets us free. That's found in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Hey, listen, I'm thankful tonight that I've been set free. Salvation has not put me back under the bondage of law. But we have been set at liberty. God has freed us from the old man and the sinful ways of life. And He's not looking to put us back under a bunch of do's and don'ts. But He has set us liberty to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Many times the believer falls into sin because he's not walking in the Spirit. He's walking according to his own will and his own way and his own desire. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." I'm thankful that as I go through life, I can walk with the Holy Ghost of God. I can have fellowship and communion with the Lord through the Spirit. You see, the fool follows his own spirit. He looks to fulfill his own lust. But at salvation, we have a new spirit. We seek to allow the Lord to guide us. I think about this. He wishes to relieve us of our burden and help us bear the load of life. That's what the Holy Ghost of God wants to do for us. We often try to bear our own burdens, but the Holy Ghost, if we'll yield to Him, desires to help us bear those burdens. The fool in the end does not have the Spirit of Christ and is lost. And will yet again return to his folly again and again and again. So as we close the simple thought tonight, I would ask us to consider ourselves. Consider our lives this evening. I know this is a salvation message and it's a Wednesday night, but guess what? I got saved on a Wednesday night. Let me ask tonight, is there an unbroken circle of returning to sin and your sinful ways? Is there no conviction in living in the manner that you want to live according to the flesh? As I've preached tonight concerning the lost man and his nature, the lost man and his reward, and the lost man and his need, I ask tonight, do you have a need of a new heart? You've tried turning over the new leaves. You've tried a different program. You've tried a different direction. But the fact of the matter is, God has never given you a new heart. Are you in need tonight of Christ making you a new creature in Him? Are you in need of having the Spirit of Christ dwell inside of you? I say tonight, the simple fact is a fool cannot change his way. Only faith in Jesus Christ can change a fool and can redirect him from his folly. And then for us as believers, when we fail to yield to the Holy Ghost of God, we become foolish in our lives. We eventually slide back into old ways and old habits. This does not mean that we need to be saved again, but it does mean that we need to renew our commitment to live the Spirit-filled life and walk in that Spirit. Thomas, too, could not change in the end. He would return to his folly and it would cost him his life. Tonight, again, I ask, are you a fool continually returning to your folly? The Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool to his folly. Let me say tonight, if the Lord's dealing with your heart about salvation, I'm going to dismiss in prayer this evening. But if the Lord's dealing with your heart about salvation and you say, you know what, I'm a fool that returns to my folly, I need to be saved tonight. Why don't you get one of these men tonight, ladies, maybe grab a lady and say, listen, I need to know what it is to be saved. I need out of this. I need to change. I need that new heart. Why don't you come to one of them tonight when we dismiss here in a little while and ask them to take a Bible and show you what it is to be saved. And then for us as believers, we need to walk in the Spirit that we might avoid being foolish in our lives and our actions. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity again to preach thy word. Father, I pray you take the message and may you speak to every heart according to your will. Father, help us not walk as fools, but help us to walk circumspectly. Help us to be wise in our decisions and wise in conducting ourselves. Help us to stay away from those sins of life and, Lord, continue in that spirit. And then, Father, tonight I pray if one's lost, tonight would be the night that they trust Christ as Savior. Thank you now for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can look